Let's read together Isaiah chapter 11. In this chapter, we have another wonderful prophecy of the coming Messiah and his kingdom here on this earth. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 5. Isaiah chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Isaiah chapter 11, with some background notes. In Isaiah chapter 9 and 10, we read about the predicted fall of two kingdoms. In the second half of chapter 9, we had Isaiah's prophecy concerning the fall of the northern kingdom of Israel at the hands of the Assyrians. And in Isaiah chapter 10, we had Isaiah's prediction of the end of the pagan Assyrian empire after God had allowed Assyria to be his axe and saw and club and rod of judgment in disciplining his own people, Israel. Now here in chapter 11, in contrast to the godless Assyrian empire and in contrast to the rebellious northern kingdom of Israel, we read about another kingdom that would arise in the future. It will be the kingdom of the Messiah here on this earth in the future. It will be a peaceful kingdom where idolatry and immorality do not exist and where the one true God will be acknowledged and worshiped. It will be a kingdom where the Messiah will reign supreme and where God's people will dwell in safety and security. Now, in the first five verses of this chapter that we just read, before we have the description of the Messiah's wonderful earthly kingdom, we have a description of the Messiah himself. This is not a description of good King Hezekiah or Josiah. It is a description of the coming Messiah. In verse 1, we see that the Messiah would be in the line of David. Remember, David was the son of Jesse. We saw in chapter 6, verse 13, that even though the Babylonian Empire would conquer the kingdom of Judah and terminate the reign of the Davidic line of kings, the stump of Judah would remain throughout the Babylonian captivity, and a remnant of Israel would return to the land, and out of that stump would come a shoot or branch in the line of David to be the Messiah. The Messiah would be anointed and filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. In his kingdom, judicial decisions would not be based on hearsay or on what is not fully known, as in the courts today. No, the Messiah would know everything and have the power to put down the wicked and exalt the poor and the oppressed. His kingdom will be a kingdom of righteousness. Verses 3 through 5. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one. In that day, the wolf will dwell with the lamb. In that day, the wolf will dwell with the lamb. Verses 6 through 9. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, after we read a passage like that, what's the first logical question that we ask ourselves about this kingdom of righteousness and peace where the wolf will dwell with the lamb? Where and when will this kingdom be? Is this heaven? in the eternal future? Well, we don't think so, because there are not going to be poor and oppressed people in heaven, verse 4. And we don't believe there are going to be snakes in heaven, even non-poisonous snakes, verse 8. How many are glad there's not going to be snakes in heaven? I've always said, you know, you can't be a spiritual Christian and like snakes. I mean, that's impossible. It just does not go together. See me later if you disagree. First roundtable discussion question. Anyway, I don't think this is a description of heaven. No, this kingdom of righteousness and peace is definitely an earthly kingdom. As verse 4 and verse 9 make clear, it says earth, not heaven. Well, is this earthly kingdom of righteousness and peace now? In other words, is the church this kingdom? Well, if it is, then everything must be spiritualized or allegorized. In other words, wolf-like people getting along with lamb-type people in the church. Believe it or not, a number of evangelical Christians accept this view of Isaiah chapter 11. This is essentially the interpretation of Reformed theology or covenant theology. They have to take this view because they do not believe in the millennial kingdom of Christ on this earth in the future. They are amillennial in their eschatology. That is, no millennium, right? So they must spiritualize or allegorize Isaiah chapter 11. We don't believe this view of spiritualizing or allegorizing Isaiah 11 is the right view. We believe it is to be taken literally, and it is not being fulfilled spiritually now in the church, but will be fulfilled literally on this earth in the future when the Lord literally returns to this earth after the tribulation period and sets up his literal kingdom, which will exist for 1,000 years. In this millennial kingdom, the wolf will literally lie down with the lamb, and lions will not be carnivorous, and children will not have to fear poisonous snakes, and it will be a wonderful time of peace, and righteousness will reign here on this earth. Romans chapter 8 looks forward to this great time of peace and harmony on this earth, which will eventually merge with eternity. I'm reading Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 21. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Romans 8, verses 18 through 21. In that day, the wolf will dwell with the lamb. Doctrinal point number 2. In that day, the remnant will return to the land. In that day, the remnant will return to the land. Verses 10 through 16. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left, from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Also the envy of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. But they shall fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines toward the west. Together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall lay their hand on Edom and Moab, and the people of Ammon shall obey them. The Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt. With his mighty wind he will shake his fist over the river and strike it in the seven streams and make men cross over dry shod. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people who will be left from Assyria, as it was for Israel in the day that he came up from the land of Egypt. When the prophets, especially Isaiah, use the phrase, in that day, generally speaking, they are looking well beyond their own day to the end times. We believe that is certainly the case here in Isaiah chapter 11. We know from Romans chapter 11 that in the future there is going to be a spiritual awakening of the Jewish people, and many will turn to the Lord Jesus as Messiah before he returns to this earth. There are glimpses of this future spiritual awakening even now in Israel and amongst Jews around the world. Here in Isaiah chapter 11, we see that not only will this godly remnant return to the Lord, but they will return to the land of Israel as well. Now, there are two points made in verses 11 and 12 that indicate that this predicted return to the land was not the Jews' return from the Babylonian captivity, but is still yet in the future. It's still a future return and is already going on before our very eyes in modern times. What are these two items? Number one, verse 11 says a second time. The first time was the return from the Babylonian captivity. And number two, the Jews have never returned to the land in the past from the places mentioned in these verses, including from the islands of the sea and from the four corners of the earth. But in modern times, the Jews are returning to the land of Israel from all over the world. This return, of course, is only the beginning of what's to come in the future when Israel returns to the Lord. In that day, there will be no longer two kingdoms of Ephraim in the north and Judah in the south, but one united kingdom of Israel. Verse 13. And in that day, Israel will defeat all her surrounding enemies. Verse 14. And in that day, the Lord will prepare the way for his people to return to the land. Verses 15 and 16. In that day, the remnant will return to the land. What about practical application from Isaiah chapter 11? Get ready to remap the Middle East. Get ready to remap the Middle East. We know from Scripture that when the Lord returns to this earth and sets up his kingdom, present maps of the Middle East will have to be scrapped. Israel's national boundaries will be enlarged as Israel becomes a blessing to the surrounding nations and their national boundaries are redrawn. Not only national boundaries will change, but physical geography as well. There will be topographical and geologic disruptions. Now we know from Zechariah chapter 14 that the Mount of Olives will be divided with a very large valley created between the two halves of the mountain. And we know from Zechariah 14 and Ezekiel 47 that water will flow out of the temple area in Jerusalem and make its way down to the Dead Sea, which will become fresh with many fish. And we see here in Isaiah chapter 11 that the tongue of the Sea of Egypt, that's the Gulf of Suez or the Gulf of Aqaba, will be destroyed or dried up in some way, and the river Euphrates diverted into seven streams, so as to make the way easier for Jews to return to the land from both the north and south ends of the land. Now, if we are consistent in our hermeneutics, that is, consistent in our principles of interpretation, these changes will literally take place. Get ready to remap the Middle East.